Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. I'm Dustin Hockensmith. He's Greg Pickle. We're talking Penn State Rutgers, a win for Penn State, a loss for a lot of fans who watched that game. Coming to you here from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue Light, Bleed Blue and White, Drink Blue and Light. We're talking Penn State Rutgers. We're going to do it for about half an hour on this show. But as our producer just mentioned, do we really need 30 minutes to talk about this game?
No.
But you're getting it anyway. We're going to look around the Big Ten as well, and we'll get into your Penn State football questions for Greg Pickle on Ask Greg to round out the show. So Penn State 20, Rutgers 7. Greg, where did this game rank? Let's just say of Penn State's 11 games so far, was this the least watchable of those games?
Yeah, I mean, the Michigan one was up there for sure, but I think this one probably took the cake. I mean, you have pretty much all the factors of unwatchability, which is bad quarterback play on both sides, a handful of injury timeouts to prolong the game. I mean, football on the offensive side of the ball, this just was not very good from start to finish for the most part. I mean, it was just an ugly one, but you know what? You go to highpoint.com stadium for a noon kick in November, and, you know, I just think that this is sometimes the game you end up with, and it's not that, you know, it just is what it is. So I thought Penn State obviously was able to grind through the I don't want to say they didn't want to be there, but certainly it's hard to get up for a game like this. I mean, I thought you could see it in warm-up straight on through, you know, really the first half of the game. That it was a tough one to get up for, but they were just better than Rutgers and won out in the end because of that.
And I feel like Rutgers, it was a pretty game effort from them. And I think on paper, you knew what they were bringing to the table, which was they were going to try to run the football a lot. And they had a moderate amount of success and were more competitive against more teams than I would have expected. You know, they threw one of the first punches against Michigan a couple weeks ago. They do have a couple runners in Blackshear and Pacheco who, you know, they're okay. And defensively, I think that's where the surprise was, and it's another one of those games where you're trying to assign credit to Rutgers or blame for Penn State, and you're ultimately landing in the middle somewhere, where I was kind of thinking to myself, if you were looking at Penn State's offense 2018 bingo edition, and you were looking at play calls that made you scratch your head, drops, inaccurate throws, that kind of, like, all the different themes were alive and well in this game.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I mean, yeah, it was pretty much all the things, good and bad, for the most part, that we've come to expect from Penn State so far this season were on display on Saturday. I mean, yeah, there were drop passes, maybe not as many as in previous contests, but there were certainly enough to make you shake your head. Missed tackles popped up from time to time. I mean, inconsistent pass game popped up pretty much the entire game. So, yeah, all the things that you can point to, and I don't know if you want to call them weaknesses or, you know, things that haven't gone well or whatever, but yeah, they certainly popped up in a big way on Saturday, and that's partially why it was so close. But you're right, Rutgers did play maybe one of its best games of the year, especially defensively. I mean, offensively they were a mess, but defensively they came to play and they shut Penn State down for the most part, especially when Trace McSorley was very inaccurate. It didn't really help the run game much, and Penn State couldn't get it going until the end of the game.
It needs to be said that Penn State is sitting there at 8-3. A good shot as a nearly 2-touchdown favorite against Maryland this coming weekend, in prime contention for a New Year's Six Bowl. And if you look at the projections from Sunday, Monday, Jerry Palm from CBS has them in the Peach Bowl. The ESPN guys, one of them has them in the Fiesta Bowl. Jason Kirk from SB Nation has them in the Fiesta Bowl. Good shot at 9-3. My question, I guess, is, you know, every fan base watches their team with a really pessimistic eye.
Sure.
You know, they're, and I think that there's Alabama fans out there who are really disappointed and upset with how the season's gone so far, not just talking about the Citadel and struggling against them for a little while. But is this a New Year's Six caliber team? You know, like, is the Penn State brand and, the resume, I guess, is okay if they're sitting at 9-3, but I don't know. It just struck me as they're hanging around in the top 20, even though they've had some of the issues they've had. I just wonder, you know, how good is this team really?
Yeah,
in a national scale.
I think it goes back to there's not that many good teams this year, and Penn State's in that group. So you have one and two. You have one Alabama, and then two Clemson. I guess you can say the next tier is Notre Dame and Michigan, and then after that, there's just a clump of teams, and it's really hard to tell any of them apart. And that takes you down to, well, right about where Penn State is right now. And then below them, there's another clump of teams, and it's even harder to distinguish that group. I mean, look at the fact that just using the AP poll, Penn State's been ranked, or I'm sorry, the number of teams that have been ranked, it's the most in at least 10 years and probably more. I mean, it's just there's teams that fall in and fall out and come in and come out every single week. And when you have that, it means you just don't have enough good teams to sustain what you need, not just for a top 25, but also for the New Year's Six Bowl. So, no, this offense feels like right now it's a tax layer bowl offense. Defense, probably a little bit, or you can make the argument that it is a New Year's Six caliber defense, but at the end of the day, with West Virginia going down, with Syracuse going down, with Ohio State just squeaking by Maryland, and then the fact that they will face a Michigan team that they're a 4-point underdog to at home this weekend, I mean, Penn State is, at this point, they have to lose to Maryland, and they'd have to have Ohio State beat Michigan to not make a New Year's Six Bowl, and I don't think either of those two things are going to happen.
So you look at the other 8-3 teams, for example, and there's a couple other teams that are interesting as well, but Texas is 8-3, Florida, Penn State, Washington, Kentucky, Utah, Syracuse. And you are really splitting hairs to try to figure out which of those teams is better. And I think bowl appeal works in Penn State's favor. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State Rutgers. The segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. For the best single game RV value and happy value, you still got one more opportunity to do it this weekend against Maryland. Check out GoPSURV.com. They have fantastic RVs you can rent for individual games, free shuttle to the game, large projection TV in the lot, free Wi-Fi as well. And you can enjoy tailgating with 409 barbecue and wine with Labatt Blue beer as well. Go to gopsurv.com for all the details. And if it makes any difference to you, I am going to be there this weekend. So I think that probably sold at least half a dozen, right, Jim?
The phone's ringing off the hook.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. We got to pick up the phone. Yeah. I may or may not be wearing pants. Let's put it that way, too. I wanted to ask you about this, Greg, because all these pictures are circulating. I think I think on a national scale, but James Franklin sitting there with you guys after the game,
yeah,
watching the Ohio State game. It was a really surreal type of photo, especially when he's sitting next to our guy, Dave Jones, yeah, who I can't imagine. You know, let's just call a spade here. I don't think James Franklin, if he were creating a list of the top five people he would sit next to and put his arm around, I don't think Dave would be on his top five list.
No, I don't think so. But I do think that, you know, it was one of those moments where it was just sort of spontaneous. I mean, he was aware enough to realize that everybody in that room was not too interested in getting right to discussing Penn State Rutgers, because Maryland Ohio State was coming down to the wire. He, I think, was interested in it too. I think it was a genuine curiosity in how that game would end. And he was blown away when he heard that Anthony McFarland had, you know, 280 rushing yards, whatever it was at that point. I mean, the way he just continued to rip through that Ohio State defense was just, I mean, at one point they showed a picture of Greg Schiano and Larry Johnson kind of just standing around looking at what appeared to be some kind of overhead shot. And they both look completely baffled, like, we're not sure how we're going to go about fixing this. And, you know, I just think that an Ohio State program is a mess right now. You know, you have Urban Meyer just every – I mean, it's like the agony cam at this point. It could be a sponsored part of the broadcast as much as they go to it. I mean, he's – bent over. I mean, he looks terrible. I don't know how else to put it. It's you know, it's obviously a shame he's having, you know, these health issues apparently, but I mean, what's the future hold with him at Ohio State? I have no idea what the answer is, but yeah, to get back to the
original
point.
We'll talk about
that
when we go around the Big Ten in quarter number three at the Keystone Kickoff Show.
I like that. You advanced the ball there. Very nice. But no, for James Franklin, he sat down, he watched it, and he got up and talked about Penn State Rutgers, but no, it was an interesting moment. And, I think he was, looking for a chance to, see what was good, just like any other normal person. Wanted to see what the game, what was going on in the big game of the day. And that's how that all played out.
So another big, like, I want to get into the details of the game, but another big picture thing that I'm curious your thoughts. Trace McSorley's 30th career win happened against Rutgers. It's a new Penn State record. He came into a tie with Tony Saka and Todd Blackledge with 29. But I'm curious, you know, especially when side by side with Todd Blackledge, how is Trace McSorley going to go down as far as his legacy goes? I hope it's favorable because, you know, this is the resurgence of Penn State's football program, and it doesn't happen without him. I think there's people out there more than you might expect who have felt underwhelmed by McSorley from the start. Whoever emails us and calls you the president of the Trace McSorley Apologist Club is certainly in that camp. But, you know, just because he's not the most physically dynamic guy, I think sometimes mentally that works against him. Is he gonna go side by side with Blackledge and Kerry Collins and some of the others? Is he in
How
that
couldn't
camp?
He? Yeah.
I hope.
Anyone that doesn't have him in that camp. I mean, there's going to be a lot of debates about whether he's Penn State's best quarterback of all time. I think it's really hard to judge the different eras of on-field production. I mean, you're talking about different styles of offense, different styles of the way the game is played now.
Here's what I would say. You can't quantify how beloved a player is.
Agreed.
And I don't know that he is in the Michael Robinson, Todd Blackledge, Kerry Collins camp, for example.
For better
or worse. Right. I'm not justifying anything, but I just think that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
Even though he's going to own all the records, he owns the wins record. He's done everything humanly possible, and he came from an underdog background that everybody in this part of the country should appreciate.
Yeah. I mean, I think there were a lot of people. I mean, the one thing about his career to date, Dustin, is that there were so many people that I can't think of a guy that holds as many records as he does that was so frequently called, the fans called for his benching.
Yeah.
And it happened again on Saturday. And look, I don't know. I mean, if you're sitting at home and you think that his injury is keeping him from being accurate, you want him to be benched, that's fine. But let me remind you that when number two came into the game at Michigan, he threw a pick six. It was one of the uglier pick sixes in the college football.
That was an Archer Sikowski pick six.
It was. And I mean, look, I would love to see Tommy Stevens throw the ball more. I really, really would. But it goes back to the same old story of everyone loves the backup until the backup has to play, and then maybe the backup isn't the guy that everybody loved from the start. So, I don't know, Dustin. We'll see. But, I mean, his legacy is one that certainly will be debated this week and a lot going forward. And where he stands in that hierarchy of Penn State quarterbacks and Penn State players all time is going to be a fascinating question that I think there's going to be a various number of opinions on, just because you're right. For a guy that has led Penn State to so much success, he's also been polarizing to some of the fan base. There's no question about it.
And always, for the first 2 years of his starting tenure, was a backseat to Saquon Barkley. And I think that ultimately kind of works into this conversation as well. He was 17 out of 37 for .183 and 2 touchdowns a pick against Rutgers. We'll talk about that passing game and get into some of these defensive issues as well coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.